and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our present study of the Bible, we've been looking at dispensations. We're presently looking at the dispensation of conscience. This would be from the fall of man to the flood. That's Noah's flood. We call it Noah's flood, but it was a worldwide flood that affected everything in this world. And in fact, people who did not get on the ark, of course, they died. And that's something that you and I need to be thankful for. That is, those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ, we would look at him as the ark of safety because we've trusted him as our Lord and Savior. Well, we're looking at the dispensation of conscience, and if you remember the last time, we looked at the result of conscience, and this would be, of course, the result that took place in the Garden of Eden of Adam and Eve. Their eyes were opened, and it was as a result of conscience. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened." A result of conscience during that time that we look at Adam and Eve, they knew they were naked. Verse 7 of Genesis 3 says, "And they knew that they were naked." And then we've also looked at the fact that a result of conscience was that Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together. Verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3 once again says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together." I made mention once before that this is the first instance of man-made religion, of man trying to get to heaven on what man thinks is a way to heaven. That was one way they thought they would get to heaven. They tried to cover their nakedness. And God covers us, and he not only covers us, he's taken away the sin that is prevalent in each of our lives. He's taken that away, and therefore it is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're cleansed from all sin. We're not only covered, our sins are not only covered, they're completely gone according to the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that they're gone as far as the east is from the west. The idea is that the two never meet. The east and the west never meet, so the sin is as far as the east is from the west. Well, we also look at the price of conscience, and we see that the serpent is cursed. Of course, the serpent was given over to Satan. In other words, Satan overtook the serpent, and the devil used the serpent as a means of tempting Eve. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Well, I've seen a lot of snakes, and I've never seen any of them walking about on two legs. And this, of course, is the curse that was put up, one of the curses that the serpent would suffer. The snake would crawl on his belly throughout his life. And then we also see that not only was the serpent cursed for letting the devil use it, the devil himself is cursed. In Genesis 3:15, it says, "And I will put enmity," this is God speaking to the devil now, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The devil has tried to kill Christ, the people of Christ, ever since the iniquity was found within him, and he was able to tempt man. He wants to see as many people in hell as possible. And this is something that has taken place throughout all of history. And it says there in that verse in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of Satan. And that means that's a deadly wound. Now, I've said before, the devil is not going to be completely destroyed. He will be cast into the lake of fire, and he will be there forever and ever, tormented. And those people who refuse to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're going to be there with him. This is something that you and I, again, as saved people, need to be thankful for. We're not going to be there. We'll be with the Lord in the glorious heaven that he's promised us, in the place that he's preparing for us. But the devil, he will be finished. And who will finish him? The woman's seed. And that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the devil, it says there, he will bruise his head. He will bruise Christ's head. Christ died on the cross, and I believe the old devil probably thought he had the best of the Lord at that time, because the human body of the Lord gave up, life. But the old devil, he thought he had the Lord, but the Lord came back. The Lord was resurrected, and he is now with our Heavenly Father in heaven, seated at the right hand. He's soon coming again, I believe. First of all, he's coming for us who know him as Lord and Savior in the rapture of the church. And then we will see that we are coming back with him as he sets up his millennial kingdom. And that's something that you and I need to look forward to as well. Not only the rapture of the church, but the time that we will have the privilege of coming back with him and see what takes place on this earth during the millennium. Well, we also saw that the woman will have sorrow and travail in childbirth. I don't believe we got to that part the last time, but there was the woman would also pay for her part in disobeying God. The woman will have sorrow and travail in childbirth. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of what? Of all living." In John 16:21, the Bible says, "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come." The woman's going to suffer, is going to have problems when it comes to having a child. And it goes on to say, "But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." A woman will have sorrow and pain and dread, I'm sure, and different things. But when the child is born, that woman, she has given birth to a child. And it makes no difference if it's a man or a male or a female baby. That woman has joy in her heart because she's brought forth a child. We also see that a woman's desire, one of the results of disobeying God, that the woman's desire is to be to her husband. In other words, the result, when we see what takes place, her desire is to be her husband, that means more children, more sorrow and travail in childbirth. Genesis 3:16, it says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Now, once again, a man is not to ride, if I could use this term, ride roughshod over his wife. In other words, that the wife is the weaker vessel. The wife is given to the husband as a helpmeet. That the woman is to complement the husband. In other words, to help the husband. And I believe vice versa, the husband is also to help the wife. She is the weaker vessel. He's to watch out for his wife. And that's a whole other study in itself. We read the book of Ephesians, and we read about the husband and wife, and actually we compare that to the bride of Christ and Christ himself as we study the book of Ephesians. As we look on in this section of Scripture, in the book of Genesis and what took place, the fall of man, we not only see the woman's desire would be to her husband, but also the woman's husband is to rule over her. What's this? This means more children, of course. In Colossians 3:18, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord." The Lord wants the wife to be in submission, to listen to what the husband has to say, because he's the head of the woman. He's to take care of the woman. Well, Eve was cursed because of her sin. It was her sin. She was cursed because of her sin. I quickly remind you that the Bible says that wherefore sin entered into the world by Adam, one man. Sin entered into the world by one man. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches us this. Adam was the reason that sin came upon mankind. But notice what 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 says. And Adam was not deceived. Now, Adam knew what he was doing. He disobeyed God. Adam was not deceived, 1 Timothy 2:14, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. She was not cleared of the sin. She was at that time, she was sinful, and she was in the transgression. She transgressed against God. And that's the reason God had to clothe the man and woman with the coats of skin, as a representation of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that not only covers our sin, but it takes us, but he takes the sin away and makes us fit for heaven. Well, you see, had Eve not sinned, the experience of childbirth would have been easy and pleasant, like every other experience in the perfect world God had made for Adam and Eve in the garden. And we keep studying this, and we find that the curse, however, it fell in a particular way on Eve and her daughters, with the pain and sorrow that would be greatly multiplied during childbirth. And nevertheless, the bearing of children, especially by a woman who loves God and seeks to obey him, is a time of blessing and rejoicing, even through the childbirth pain. It's, although accompanied by a time of suffering, the John 16:21 says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And once again, the woman is, after the child is born, there is great joy in that woman's heart and soul because she's brought forth a human into this world. She's given birth to a baby. Well, we think of this, and we see that Christ would also have travail of his soul after coming into the world. Isaiah 53:10 and verse 10 and 11 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's speaking of Christ. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Well, Christ bears the iniquities of those who will trust him. And notice in John 10:15, it says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Who are the sheep? Those people who will trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. One more section that I'd like for us to look at is Genesis 3:19. You see, for the man, the price of conscience would be for him to sweat for his food. Genesis 3:19 says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Man did not die physically the moment he ate of that forbidden tree, but he died spiritually. Later on, we know that Adam did die physically. And I wonder today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You need to trust him today. Ask him into your heart. Trust him, knowing that he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.